When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of the Spanish Football Podcast. I'm Phil Kitramalides. Sid Lowe couldn't be here today. He's off doing something very important elsewhere. So instead, producer Al, Alex Kirkland, has interrupted his paternity leave to join me, Al.
Yet another heroic act from yours truly.
Colossal heroism.
Yeah, I mean, it's just on a weekly basis now.
So Al's got one baby that is less than 2 weeks old and another one that's 2 years old. So you should be in absolute pieces. You look all right.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I mean, look, dear listener, you may well know this if you are a parent. The newborn is quite a lot easier than the two-year-old.
Yes.
It's the two-year-old that is the real headache at times, especially at the moment. But it's all good.
Yes. Well, that's good. That's good. It does feel like the universe is sort of conspiring against us at the moment. Sid's had to go away and deal with some issues. You've got a new baby. There may or may
You're next.
There may or may not be a five-year-old boy in the back of the car because there is no school for kids in Spain today.
Yeah. Yeah, sitting in for me in the back seat.
Yes.
That was my old spot.
Yeah. It was actually, there we go. But yeah, fingers crossed, he can keep quiet for the next 25 minutes or so. Let's take you through what happened in La Liga this weekend.
Please do. Imagine that you're talking to a man who spent the last 2 weeks knee-deep in nappies and doesn't really know what's been going on in La Liga.
Well, Friday night there was a very entertaining game and somewhat controversial as well. Elche were 2-0 up against Real Betis, but they contrived to lose by 3-2. They finished the game with 8 men, Elche, and there was some controversial refereeing decisions.
Inexplicable.
Yeah, inexplicable refereeing decisions which went against Elche. They were not happy at all, but a really big win for Betis. Elche remained bottom of the table. Then on Saturday, we saw Espanyol beat Mallorca by 2-0. Friend of the pod, Martin Brathwaite. We can still call him that even after four years.
I think he's sort of left us behind.
Sort of distant.
When he got successful.
Yeah, sort of distant acquaintance of the pod, Martin Brathwaite. Man who we once interviewed, Martin Brathwaite, scored twice. Vedat Marucci scored an absolute stunner for Mallorca, but it wasn't quite enough. Then Cadiz beat Rayo by 1-0.
Yeah.
The worst performance of the season from Rayo Vallecano. Cadiz were a little bit better. Sergio Guardiola scored the only goal of the game against the side for whom he was playing last season. Then it was the Madrid derby, and it finished 1-1 between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. Josema Jimenez giving Atletico Madrid an unexpected lead after they had controversially been reduced to 10 men with the sending off of Angel Correa. But off the bench came a teenage hero for Real Madrid, Álvaro Rodríguez. Off the bench, scoring his first goal in a Real Madrid shirt with 5 minutes to go. It was the equaliser, and a star is born for Real Madrid. More on that because you did manage to watch the Madrid
derby. Yes, I did.
That was good. That was good. Then a massive, massive win for Valencia. They ended their nine-match winless streak with a victory against Real Sociedad at Mestalla. They actually looked pretty decent as well. Igor Zubeldia putting the ball into his own net, the only goal of the game. Sunday saw Girona win at San Mamés for the first time ever. They beat Athletic Club by 3-2. Regular listeners to the podcast will know that once upon a time there was a hashtag, always watch Betis. We're changing it now. Always watch Girona. Third top scorers, third worst defence.
Okay.
Their games are full of goals, full of entertainment, and they play some really good football as well. Celta Vigo beating Valladolid by 3-0. That was really the Gabri Vega show. You absolutely must be watching Gabri Vega.
He's good,
as well.
Isn't he? It's the end
He's
of
really
Barry Dependencia for Celta. It's no longer all on Barry's shoulders because Gabri Vega is stepping up.
Yeah, two goals and an assist for Gabri Veiga. Still only 20 years of age. It's eight league goals for him this season. Now, Haris Seferovic getting the first goal for Celta on his first start as well.
He looks a proper player, Gabri Veiga. And he looks so good, in fact, that you start to wonder how long Celta can hang on to him.
Unfortunately, the game that I was commentating, which was Celta Valladolid, was being streamed live in the UK. So English teams.
He has already been linked to a couple of Premier League teams. I saw that over the weekend.
It's a shame. I think we just need to sort of block out.
He's no good. He's rubbish.
Oh God, he's really good, and someone's going to buy him very soon. Then another historic result: Almeria beating Barcelona for the first time ever. Had never beaten Barcelona before, but a goal from El Bilal Touré on 24 minutes. A thumping finish it was as well. It's always so much better when goals go in off the crossbar. And this one made a really sort of satisfying sound. Hit the crossbar, went in, and a terrific, terrific goal. Almeria beating a staggeringly poor Barcelona. One shot on target all game from Barcelona. To be fair, they have played a lot of matches. They have had some big games in recent weeks, not least the match at Old Trafford on Thursday evening, but they've got a big enough squad they should be able to deal with.
The match report in AS described them as impresentable.
Yes.
Which I quite like. Disgraceful.
Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of adjectives, disastrous, erratic in the papers today, but yeah, Barcelona weren't very good at all. And then the Sunday night game was another cracker at the Estadio Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan, where Sevilla had won five games in a row in all competitions. Osasuna were resting players for their midweek Copa del Rey semi-final against Athletic Club. So obviously Osasuna won 3-2. Obviously. It was, as we said, a tremendous game in which Osasuna could easily have scored more goals. Kike Garcia could have had a hat-trick. Nemanja Gudelj scored an unbelievably good goal from distance. It's becoming his trademark.
He does that,
now.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't do it for 3 years. Didn't score a goal for Sevilla for 3 years, and he scored three unbelievably good goals this season. Wasn't enough for Sevilla, with Osasuna picking up all 3 points, ending up their mini little slump and going into the Copa del Rey semi-finals in the best possible fashion. There is football this week in the Copa del Rey. The semi-final on Wednesday night, the first leg at El Sadar. It's going to be pretty special. It's Osasuna against Athletic Club. And then on Thursday night, it's also going to be pretty special at the Bernabeu. It's a Clásico, Real Madrid against Barcelona. Got Monday night football in La Liga as well. It's Villarreal against Getafe. That's a big game. I mean, Villarreal have lost four matches in a row, and Getafe are second bottom. So let's see what happens in that game. To the Madrid derby then. The one game you watched this weekend, the one game you watched in the last few weeks. Let's go in depth. It's all right. We can talk around other stuff as well. But the Madrid derby was conditioned by the sending off, which has caused a number of headlines out, a number of really furious debates on the radio and in print.
Also,
as well,
an internal debate in the TSFP WhatsApp group between you and Sid over whether this was a sending off or not.
I mean, surprising, actually. Sid is usually one who is pretty much up for, a bit of physicality, a bit of old-school football.
Sort of 1980s English football style.
Yeah, if it was good in the 1980s, it's good enough for Sid.
But that applies to all sorts of things for him, including... Yeah,
more
including,
or less everything.
Including physicality.
Including football as well. I thought this was might not even have been a foul. I mean, it was just two players coming together. He's sort of shrugging him off with... He shrugs him off with his elbow. I think it's Angel Correa shrugging off.
As Kitro is saying this, he's doing the gesture that he's describing. I don't think shrugging off is accurate.
Shrugging with
an elbow. Can you shrug with an elbow?
It's a sort of push shrug.
That's inherently not a shrug.
It's just sort of a push shrug.
I don't know, man. No. I think it was a bit silly. Like, maybe he's a little bit unfortunate, but I don't think he can have too many complaints at the same time. I enjoyed Diego Simeone's reaction to this at the time on the touchline. You could clearly see him gesturing about how little Angelito Correa is compared to the pole-axed.
He had one hand up here and one hand down there, saying, look how much bigger he is. And then he said afterwards, you know, he's 1.94 meters.
I mean, maybe Correa was trying to elbow him in the face, but he just couldn't reach. So I think it was an elbow. I don't think it was a shrug. Maybe that's a semantic point. I don't know. But like I say, I think it was a bit silly.
To be fair, and we're not going to dwell on this, but if you watch the Celta Vigo Valladolid game, as I know everyone listening did, there was a red card shown for Selim Amala, 5 minutes from time for Valladolid, a straight red, which is an absolutely ludicrous decision. Go and watch it. It's a yellow card, and the referee's right there, right in front of him, so quickly brandishing the red card. It just feels like refs are really quick to brandish red cards.
Well, it's something that we've talked about a lot, but what's interesting is that I've noticed in the media here over the last couple of days, there's been a focus on this, on the number of red cards that we see in La Liga compared to other European leagues, and how much this is conditioning the game and the spectacle and what we see. And it's not news to us, because we've talked about this for a while. There's no doubt that La Liga referees, I think, are too card happy, and we see the consequences every weekend.
So that did condition the game somewhat. I mean, it wasn't a great game.
The Madrid derby often isn't. It was interesting. I was watching this on TV, of course, because, as mentioned, I'm theoretically on paternity leave, and so I wasn't at the game in the stadium as I normally would be.
Yes.
And on the Spanish coverage of the game, the sort of the tagline they'd gone with for this game was "best derby in the world." So you heard that phrase, el mejor derbi del mundo. You heard it 15 times in the build-up to this game. And I was sat there thinking, I mean, it's not, is it? It's not the best. Certainly not in terms of spectacle. Like, very rarely is the Madrid derby a fantastic footballing occasion. I mean, think back over the last decade. You know, if I ask you to name sort of the best five Clásicos or the top 10 Clásicos, you could do it like that. Yeah. You could roll them off one after the other. Tell me the best Madrid derbies of the last decade. We could talk about sort of the most high-profile ones in the Champions League final, in the Copa del Rey final, games that have, you know, maybe played a role in deciding title races.
Yeah.
But in terms of sort of the best ones, it doesn't tend to be very good. It tends to be a scrap. And this one was pretty much the same. I think you saw it a little bit in the team that Atletico picked to go to the Bernabeu. And it wasn't a great spectacle. It sort of came to life at the end with the goals. But even the goals were quite sort of fitting, weren't they? Because they weren't necessarily kind of, you know, flowing, or they weren't at all sort of flowing moves. They were two thumping headers.
They were two really good headers. I love the Atletico Madrid goal. The ball in from Griezmann is absolutely perfect.
The run
from Josema Jimenez is fantastically well-timed, and the connection he gets is terrific. It's an absolutely fantastic goal.
Yeah, I miss him a little bit.
Yeah.
I miss the player that he was. And he doesn't necessarily seem to be anymore, and injuries played a large part in that. But I enjoyed this goal as a reminder of what I enjoy about him, which is this, sort of such a physical presence and the way that he threw himself at that ball, and it was a very good header.
It was. And then at the other end, we got Alvaro Rodriguez, and people were getting carried away with him last weekend after he came on and gave two assists in 5 minutes against Osasuna, only one of which counted. So imagine how excited
now
people
we
are getting.
Can get carried away
with this goal. I mean, he is only 18, and it was very interesting to hear what Carlo Ancelotti said after the game as well, wasn't he? He said he's going to be in the first team next season.
I mean, he's only 18, but look at him.
Yeah.
Like, you can see, which is what, 6'2" or something like that?
Yeah.
For our listeners who favour imperial measurements, maybe 6'3". He's got that physique. It's the first thing you notice about him. It's something that Ancelotti has talked about and his other coaches have talked about as well. He already looks like a man. He doesn't look like a boy at all. We saw it with this header, and you can see why he could be a very useful option, a plan B for Madrid. It's interesting because my understanding is that as a youngster, he played on the wing.
Right.
He was at Girona, born in Palamos, on the Costa Brava, famous for its prawns.
Yes.
Not of interest to you because you're not a prawn guy.
I'm not, but a lot of people are.
Palamos prawns are pretty legendary. But of course, of Uruguayan heritage, we're going to have to think of...
Well, I mean, his dad's Uruguayan.
Yeah. Sure, and he's chosen to play for Uruguay at youth level and probably...
But, I mean, everybody's saying, the Uruguayan. Fine, and nationality is, you know, a very personal thing, and if he's choosing to represent Uruguay as well. But, you know, his mum's Spanish, was born and raised in Spain.
Okay. We're not going to be starting up some sort of, you know, steam-based locomotive for him. We know that Fede has the Uruguayan hype train.
I mean, it took a while for that hype train to get going. It took a little
while.
For
a long time, it was just you just shoveling coal. And then it finally sort of reached...
Yeah,
a decent velocity. But no, he's been talked about for a little while. He joined Madrid from Girona from their academy in 2020. He was fast tracked with Real Madrid. I think he would have gone into the Juvenil C, which is the under 17s. But he was Raúl, coach of Castilla, looked at him and said, I like the look of this guy, and fast tracked him to Castilla, already scoring goals for Castilla, already scoring goals for Uruguay. I think he was in the under 20 South American Championships recently. Looks like a player. And as you say, Ancelotti wants him to be a part of the first team squad. It's a position that Real Madrid have needed to strengthen because Mariano Diaz is not a factor. And the idea earlier in the season...
That's one word for him, yeah. He's not a factor.
I mean, he's a factor in terms of expenses, Real Madrid's expenses,
yes.
But not really on the pitch. This idea from earlier in the season that Eden Hazard could be a false nine alternative to Benzema...
Goodness me,
disappeared very quietly
now.
And very quickly.
Yeah.
Let's just never talk about that again.
Yes.
And so Madrid have needed an alternative to Benzema, and Rodrigo has been the guy, but it's not quite his position. And maybe now, I mean, Alvaro is making a case for it to be him for the rest of the season and for next season as well. Madrid, we've reported this for ESPN, that they've been looking at bringing in a forward in the summer,
yes,
to act as a backup for Benzema. But the problem is that the last few backups to Benzema haven't worked. You know, Jovic came and went.
Yeah.
Mariano Diaz came and stayed.
Yes.
But will be leaving when his contract expires.
Yes.
It's a difficult thing to come in and be a backup. And probably the best way to do it,
yeah,
is to have a young player who sort of can accept that role. And it could be Alvaro.
And Mariano Diaz came and resolutely refused to leave.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yes, he's got a massive, massive, massive contract that he's not going to get anywhere else, and why not? But Alvaro looks like he's going to be the guy.
There's a story in AS this morning, and they say that Real Madrid are not going to go into the transfer market this summer because they have the pólvora cubierta, the firepower covered.
I mean,
with Alvaro Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean,
no Mbappe or no Haaland this summer, maybe in 2024.
Yeah, that's the sort of story that you get after a performance
of course.
Like this. Like I say, our story with ESPN just a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
was they were looking at players. They hadn't necessarily identified a candidate, but looking at players like Vlahovic at Juventus, and they liked even someone like Richarlison, although I think he'd be basically impossible to get out of Spurs. But they were looking at players like that.
Mm.
But maybe, yeah, it's the kind of thing that, if between now and the end of the season Alvaro makes a case, and he couldn't have, as you say, couldn't have done much more,
yes,
than he's done in the last couple of games, then maybe they won't have to spend that money in, because it would be going out and spending a lot. That's the problem, isn't it? It would be going out and spending a lot of money,
yes,
for a backup player, which you don't necessarily want. I mean, you want to go and spend your money on someone like Bellingham. You don't want to necessarily spend it on a backup striker,
which they fully intend to do.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, Real Madrid drawing with Atletico Madrid at the time.
Title race over. Finished. Done.
Didn't feel good, did it? We thought, you know, that's it for the title race. I mean, you know, we don't. I genuinely don't mind if Real Madrid or Barcelona or Atletico Madrid or anyone wins the title. That's not. But it would be nice for us if we did have a title race.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
A procession isn't all that much fun.
No, but Barcelona.
Thank goodness. Thank you, Barca. Well done.
Thank goodness for Almeria, by the way, who have got an unbelievably good home record.
At the Power Horse Stadium.
At the Power Horse Stadium. 7 wins. Only Barcelona have got more home wins this season than Almeria, just as well, because they haven't won away from home all season. And it's funny because it's not a particularly cauldron-like atmosphere there. It's not a big stadium. It's not a stadium where the fans are on top of you.
No,
quite the opposite.
Although what they've done in terms of behind the goals, bringing those stands forwards helps a bit.
But still, on the sides, you're still quite far away from the action. It's a strange stadium, but it's somewhere where Almeria have played well this season. And I was, I've been writing about them today, which is why I've got these sort of stats fresh in my mind. I was looking through. They've had 14 different goal scorers this season.
Mm.
That's the most of anyone in La Liga. And I guess if you're in a relegation battle, which they are, having players who can chip in with goals is very, very important. They lost Umar Sadiq at the start of the season, right at the end of the summer transfer window. They brought in El Bilal Touré, who scored 6 goals. It's not a bad return. It's not overly prolific. But if you look at what those 6 goals have meant, they've directly contributed to 5 points.
That's the important thing, isn't it? It's not just about the number of goals. It's about the value of those goals.
Absolutely. It's not stat padding. He's an exciting player. He's only 21 as well. So he could be one to watch for the future. Barcelona, really very disappointing in this game. They played, they just looked a bit tired, which is understandable for Barcelona and Real Madrid. Although at the end, They were just slinging in crosses, fine, but they weren't even doing that particularly well either.
It was Ronald Araujo doing the old, almost Gerard Piqué routine of centre-back as centre-forward right at the end. And he got on the end of one or two, didn't he, but just couldn't stick it in the back of the net.
And now we're hearing today that Bobby Lewandowski has a sobrecarga, which is, you're good at translating injuries.
A strain?
A strain.
Did you call it a strain?
Yeah. He's got a strain, so he might be a doubt for the cup game. And obviously,
why do you say I'm good at translating injuries? Where's that come from?
Well, because you have to do it for your job, don't you?
I suppose.
For ESPN,
yeah.
You know.
Okay, all right. It's a weird speciality to be the one thing you're good at.
You're really good at that and many other things as well. But yeah,
Bobby. Also, my wife's a doctor, so she can help out sometimes.
That's
with
true.
The medical vocab.
Bobby Lewandowski may be a doubt for Thursday's game at the Bernabeu, which would obviously be a really big blow if you don't have Pedri and you don't have Ousmane Dembélé and then you don't have Lewandowski. Ansu Fati as well was out injured, so oof. Let's see.
Well, especially given the sort of the narrative now coming out of Barcelona after their European exit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how much the seasons of Madrid and Barca depend on European success, because it's been, oh, look, at least you've got to get a domestic double. At least you've got to win the league and win the cup. And then you've sort of saved your season, which is a bizarre position to be in. But that's how people talk.
I mean, literally 1 week ago, the headline in the Barcelona sports papers was Carnival. Barcelona Carnival. Yeah. Everything was great. There were 8 points clear at the top of the table.
And then
table.
Suddenly it's sort of front pages all in black.
Yes.
And
disaster. I mean, they're never far away from disaster, Real Madrid and Barcelona. We know that. And obviously, one season very much conditions the other. So there we go. Barcelona giving us a little bit of hope in terms of the title race.
I mean, so what's it? 7 points, isn't it now?
It's 7 points. I mean, you know.
That's not insurmountable from a Madrid point of view, but I don't know. Do you look at this Madrid and think that they could achieve the level of consistency in the league between now and the end of the season to overtake Barca with a 7-point gap? I don't think so.
They go to Betis next weekend, and I don't necessarily think they win there. Barcelona hosting Valencia, so who knows what on earth's going to happen there. But
Madrid might close the gap and they might get close, but I can't see them overhauling Barca at this point.
Mm-hmm. Real Sociedad on 43 points, Atletico Madrid on 42, Betis on 40. That is the battle for the Champions League spots as well. We're over at Patreon, by the way, patreon.com/TSFP for all your Spanish footballing needs. We're there throughout the week with Q&A podcasts on a Tuesday, bonus podcasts on a Thursday or Friday, and also our special series TSFP Presents. We've been doing top fives, our historic look back at everything that's great about Spanish football.
And soon we might have something new and exciting, mightn't we, on the TSFP Presents?
Yes. Like
we might get a little bit cultural.
Yeah.
We might head into a little corner.
We might.
That we all know as the cultural corner.
Yes.
That's the plan.
Yes.
We'll see.
The plan is to do some more Rincón Cultural, cultural corner content. Thanks very much for listening wherever you've been listening. A slightly shorter podcast this week. We desperately wanted to get this podcast out for you guys, and we've made a big effort to try and do so. Hopefully it's appreciated. Now, I said we've got content coming up on Patreon next week. We'll see how Sydney is. We think he should be okay for two days.
So
a Q&A
crossed.
Podcast tomorrow. So we'll see. Thanks very much for listening, amigos. Thanks to my son in the background for being very, very quiet. Thanks to your wife for taking care of the baby while you're recording.
It's a long list of thank yous today, isn't it?
It's a long list of thank yous, but thanks to you guys for listening mainly. And we'll speak again very soon, amigos. Adios.
Bye.